Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
A few years ago, I owned an army truck. Big old monstrous deuce and a half, M35A2. Huge, huge truck. To fit it in my garage, for instance, I had to put the roof down, the windshield down, and park it diagonally across two spaces. And then it just fits. The door would drop right behind it. But it was a fun thing to have. I didn't use it as often as I'd like, and I wound up selling it. But I had a lot of fun with it. I would take it up north and drive it down logging trails and so on. The ground clearance was insane, and it would go anywhere. It had a winch and a front bumper that probably weighed about 1,000 pounds. But here's the thing. Military vehicles are treated differently in different states. But the weird thing is what constitutes a military vehicle, and why would they be treated any differently than a civilian vehicle? So for instance, my army truck was an army truck, but there's nothing militant about it. Didn't have any weapons on it. It just looked like a gigantic truck. Now, I had painted mine four-color camo, so it looked like an army truck also. But it was just basically a gigantic, primitive pickup truck because it didn't have a heater. The windshield wipers were basically manually operated. And it had the ride comfort of pretty much a defective shopping cart. But like I said, it was a lot of fun to have. So in Colorado now, the legislators there are questioning their DMV's targeting of historic military vehicles. Scott Weiser wrote the story. Carl sent this to me, Carl with a K. DenverGazette.com reports that a man named Dick Olmsted bought a used 1997 AM General Hummer in 2002. He never thought the Colorado Department of Revenue Division of Motor Vehicles would send him a letter canceling his vehicle title and telling him he could no longer drive it on the public highways, but that's what happened. On March 22 of this year, the DMV sent out a number of letters to Hummer owners voiding their highway use titles and issuing them instead an OHV surplus military vehicle title that only allows them to register the vehicles as off-highway vehicles. You can drive it on land, but just not on the road. The action effectively lumped Olmsted's commercial Hummer and how many others is unclear in with military high mobility multi-purpose wheeled vehicles together, forcing them all off of Colorado's highways. The controversy stems from recent amendments to motor vehicle law, but legislators who sponsored those laws said that wasn't their intention and they don't support what the DMV is doing. In 2019, Colorado lawmakers amended the Motor Vehicle Code regarding military vehicles. In particular, the bill added a new definition defining a surplus military vehicle as one that was purchased for non-military use and built for the U.S. Armed Forces. This definition does not mention vehicles built for other countries. So ironically, if you've got a former military vehicle from Germany, Switzerland, the U.K., or Australia, it means that those can probably be registered, but the American Hummer cannot. The legislation also added surplus military vehicles to the definition of an off-highway vehicle, which includes ATVs, snowmobiles, and other recreational off-road vehicles that cannot be licensed for on-highway use. But there remains an explicit exemption from the definition of surplus military vehicles for historical military vehicles. My M35 was built in 1969. And so that means that, you know, it's a historic vehicle by age, at least in the state of Michigan. Now, I'll tell you that I plated my vehicle with regular plates. I did not get a historic plate for it. And I literally just walked into our Secretary of State's office one day and I said, I'd like to get plates for my vehicle. And the woman said, what do you got? And I showed her the title. The title just says AM General 1969 pickup truck. And it gives a weight. And the weight was just below the cutoff where it actually became important. And she goes, oh, okay. And she just gave me a civilian plate. And so it was no big deal. And the title wouldn't have indicated anything else about it in terms of its history with respect to being in the military. So there is this exemption for historical military vehicles. The definition of a historical military vehicle includes any vehicle manufactured for use by nations' armed forces that is valued for historical purposes and is maintained in its military configuration and appearance. So in my case, the four-color camo would have done that, I would assume. A representative named Valdez, one of the sponsors of the bill, told the Denver Gazette he never intended for existing registered military vehicles to have their titles revoked. He never intended that. I believe the intent was to register military vehicles, but in that aspect, I was talking with the Colorado Public Safety and Department of Revenue, and at the time, they wanted to allow only for historic vehicles and also for use for certain events. Asked if the status as the DMV is interpreting it should be reviewed, he said, absolutely. I think we need to take a look at this. Another representative who signed on as a co-sponsor said he cannot recall any discussion indicating an intent that the law be used to revoke titles and remove licensed vehicles from the roads. I mean, if there was discussion about revoking titles, the bill was supposed to make it more permissive, not less permissive. A senator, who is also a co-sponsor, told the Gazette, I don't support their interpretation. We've used them on highways. Their definition says they were never intended for highway use, yet our military uses them on highways all the time. But then when they go into private sector, for some reason, they don't view them as roadworthy anymore. Trust me, my M35 was roadworthy. Olmsted, who's the guy who owns the Hummer, said the DMV's letter blindsided him. He said, I had a current title and registration on it and insurance on it since 2002. He bought the Hummer for $64,000. Says, I haven't driven it for the last number of years. I had heart failure and went in and out of the hospital, and the truck is in the middle of being worked on. But out of nowhere, I just got this new title issued to me. Now, a communications manager for the DMV stated in an email that the division has transitioned 802 vehicles, which only had titles, to off-highway vehicles. Vehicle owners will receive their new OHV titles over the next week or so. Vehicles with on-highway registration will be addressed in the next phase, adding that the DMV transitioned 537 AM General military vehicles to OHV titles. When asked how many commercial Hummers have been or will be lumped in with actual military surplus vehicles, he replied, if the owner of a vehicle that was identified as commercially produced can provide that information, we will work with them to correct it. Because you'll recall that at one point in time, General Motors was building and selling Hummers in America to regular people, and they were licensed for street use. And they are different from the military vehicle. But they're saying they accidentally send this letter to somebody who's got one of those, that you can straighten that out. Olmsted said the DMV told him, after more than an hour of discussion, that his only recourse is to file for an appeal with the DMV within 60 days. Another longtime Hummer owner and past president of the Hummer Club, Inc., said he has not received his letter yet from the DMV. And he said, I don't think there's any malevolent intent. I think the actions of someone at the DMV has exceeded their understanding. This mistake is going to be expensive in terms of inconvenience and cost. He bought his Hummer for $69,000 back in 95. And he, of course, being diplomatic there. Meanwhile, the man's considered an expert on Hummers and part of a group of early adopters of the Humvee, as it's commonly known, disputes the notion that the commercial Hummer qualifies as a surplus military vehicle because it is clearly not built for the U.S. Armed Forces. They were built partly on the same line, but on the third part of assembly, they were driven across the parking lot to another line. All the electrical and DOT required stuff was installed there. Commercial Hummers are not the only vehicles being affected by the change in state motor vehicle implementation of the rules. Owners of historic military vehicles going back as far as World War II, and sometimes even earlier, that have been titled and licensed by the state for decades, will now have their titles transitioned into only off-highway use. So people who've got those vehicles can expect those letters, apparently. The president of the Military Vehicle Collectors of Colorado, which is an organization that does what its name suggests, said the DMV should reconsider its interpretation. Our organization goes back to 1968. We are members who collect and restore vintage military vehicles for display for support of veterans and patriotic events, selected charity events, and educational events. Between 1968 and about 2019, the world has left us alone to do what we do. We educate the public on vintage vehicles. We're even called out by elementary schools to bring them over and educate the kids. Let them climb on them, get in them. Our vehicles are titled, they're registered, they're insured. We use them for very limited purposes. So as of right now, if you're in Colorado and you've got a historic military vehicle that was previously licensed for road use, you might get a letter saying you can no longer drive that thing on the road. It can no longer be registered as a vehicle that can be driven on the road, and you can use it only off-road. And that does seem like a bit of a stretch, especially when the legislators who passed the rule that the DMV is supposedly implementing are saying that's not what we intended. So they talked a lot about the Humvees here. And the question is, for instance, would they have found my M35? Because like I said, it was simply identified as a 1969 pickup truck. And so I will tell you that I actually had my truck in a parade. And I got invited to be in another parade, but something fell apart on that one. But I was talking to somebody, and I mentioned I have an Army truck. And the guy said, how big is it? And I said, oh, it's big. It's big. M35 A2, deuce and a half. The guy goes, do you have the racks for it? And I said, yeah. And what he's referring to is the back of the vehicle on the sides, there are racks, and part of it folds down so that troops can sit in them and be a troop carrier. You can fit about a dozen guys and all their gear in the back there. And the guy said, well, I have an organization that would like to be in a parade, but we don't have a vehicle. Can we sit in the back of yours? And I said, absolutely. I think it was the 4th of July. And one morning, bright and early, I got up, got my M35, drove to a little small town up in the thumb of Michigan, met the guy, and he had a whole troop of kids, high school, junior high kids. So they were little kids, but not small children. And I remember dropping the back and showing the kids how to climb on, and everybody climbs on and put the gate back up. Kids all sit down in the racks, and I remember getting in line, and there's a guy, lining up all the vehicles, and then, we pull out of the parking lot and drive down Main Street at about a mile and a half an hour. I think I just put it in creeper and let it idle, because any faster than that would have overtaken the people in front of us, and spent the entire parade just doing this. It's a lot of fun. And I remember one day I was mowing my lawn, and I look over, and there's a sheriff's deputy car at the end of my driveway. And that's the kind of thing that tends to get my attention. So I shut my mower off, and I go walking over there. And the guy's standing at the foot of my driveway, and I go, can I help you? And he goes, is that what I think it is? And I had opened up one of my garage doors, but not the other. And he was simply driving by and saw the back end of my M35 tucked in, like I said, diagonally across two parking spots. And he goes, is that a deuce and a half? And I go, yeah. I go, were you in the military? And he goes, yeah, because I spent a lot of time in one of those. I said, driving or riding? He goes, oh, in the back. And he starts telling me the stories about how uncomfortable those things can be. But of course, they're not designed for comfort. And he said, I have a question. He goes, does it run? I said, absolutely. I go, I just put it in the garage. So, when I'm not driving it, but I can break it out and drive it around 5 minutes. And he goes, we have a bunch of veterans in our organization who like to walk in parades, and unfortunately, some of them no longer can walk. And I thought it'd be cool to get a vehicle like yours that they can sit in and ride in. I go, I've already done that. I did it with a bunch of kids the other day up in the thumb. I said, let me know, and I gave him my card. And he actually called me, and he said, I'm really sorry to get back to you so late, but we don't need the truck. We got somebody else, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how many people they had, but I was willing to do it. And, the truck, I drove it from time to time. I brought it to my office once or twice. I took it to the Woodward Dream Cruise a couple times. Took it up north a couple times, but it wasn't fun to drive in traffic. Manual transmission with a clutch that had, about this much of a distance to it, the pedal. And, a big old monstrous shift pattern. But, it would do 55 miles an hour on the freeway all day long as multi-fuel. And with a cloth top, though, and those 10 knobby tires at highway speeds, it got loud. And I had to wear earplugs while driving it. And driving a vehicle for long distances with wearing earplugs can get monotonous after a while. So, but it was a lot of fun. I might get another one. We'll see. M35 A2. I might get the A3 next time. But that's got the automatic transmission. I'm not sure. I might want to go with the manual. That's kind of fun, too. So Colorado legislators are questioning the DMV's targeting of historic military vehicles. I suspect they're going to either have to tell DMV to change what they're doing, that is the state, or the state may have to amend the law slightly to make it more clear. Stories from Scott Weiser, DenverGazette.com. And Carl with a K sent it. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. There's a world out there, and you've got to look at both sides of the mountain in your lifetime.